My name is David Reeder. I teach at Cameron Catholic High School in New Jersey, and I was the Freedom Fellow on the Preserving American Freedom Project in the summer of 2012.
Let's start off with the first question is, what do you think is the most important aspect about preserving American freedom for the youth in the classroom?
Well, I think one of the best things about the website is the fact that it is readable for all age groups. It's interactive, so definitions, biographies, footnotes, anything a student or non-history reader may come across that's new to them, they can easily find out what the definition of that word is or its relevance to the document. So I think that's the fact that it's accessible and easy to use for students. It's a great tool.
Is there anything in particular students like about it that you've noticed?
Well, the historical essays done by various historians from the universities, students tend to find them helpful in getting a better understanding of the documents because each historian includes the documents in its relevance to the time period, unlike some textbooks that the kind of you as a teacher have to develop a lesson to coordinate the textbook with the Preserving American Freedom documents.
And as a teacher, how do you using primary documents help you illustrate a specific time period or theme to students?
The primary sources, the documents themselves, are of great use. They're integral in all levels from freshman year, elementary school, high school, all the way into college. In my opinion, the sooner students have the experience using primary sources, the more comfortable they'll become with them. And then they'll have a greater understanding of the period they're studying. Unlike the textbook, these are documents that speak to the time period. They have a tone to them. And in some cases, they're easily relatable. And in other circumstances, students are shocked at the attitudes, opinions, and views Americans had years ago. So I think that they're integral to the study of history, and with curriculum changes, I can only see them being incorporated more.
How can asking questions about documents challenge students to think or learn?
Well, I think the one of the benefits of the Preserving American Freedom Project is that the 50 documents selected bring different aspects, different viewpoints to various groups, whether it's race, religion, sexual preference. It lays it out for everything, from the earliest documents of 1655, the Jewish petition, to the Dutch West India Company, to one of the last documents from the 70s about disabled Americans and their attempts to get fair busing. So therefore, I think that they challenge the traditional narrative of many of the textbooks that are used by high schools and elementary schools that give a very traditional account of history. This brings in other groups whose voice sometimes isn't heard as loud as it should be in textbooks. So I think you can access this, the Women's Hucksters document, I forget the section it's in, but that was the one document that took me by surprise the most. I thought that was a great document, and I think it shows some of the origins of the early women's movement as well as many other things. I use that document as well as William Still's journal is of great importance and value in the classroom for students to get a better understanding of the Underground Railroad, who he was, the importance of Philadelphia in the Underground Railroad. So I think that it provides a lot of challenges. It provides a lot of different viewpoints, and it makes the story of American history more relatable to everyone in the spectrum that are citizens and non-citizens alike. It's a great resource. In my classroom, I use primary documents sometimes 3 or 4 times a week as a center point of class, and it's a slow moving in the beginning of the year with the introduction of them, but once the students understand the relevance, and once they understand how they make the story more engaging and lively, to allow for the student to become the historian themselves. And I send kids to the Historical Society. I send my junior class every year to do research on Philadelphia. And they come back with ideas and stories that they wouldn't get doing traditional research with books and secondary sources. You know, they use the Preserving American Freedom to look at the section on slavery, and all these things are a benefit to them.
What was your grand vision in designing the lesson plans for Preserving American Freedom?
Well, I think that the Historical Society has a great number of sources available to them. I think the 50 documents they chose are all speak to all people in the United States. So the vision was to make the four educators part accessible to all teachers, from the most experienced veteran to the novice beginning to teach. We included a few helping aids for them, aids in terms of DBQs, a document-based question that's used in advanced placement classes and the IB program. We added a section for developing and using primary sources in the classroom. So initially, to give the teachers some guides, especially the new teachers, on how to go about it. And then for the more advanced and master teachers, to allow them to see some lessons that they themselves could build on or could change to suit the needs of their classes. So the grand vision was to have all these documents that are unique to American history, to have them accessible for educators to use to meet either their school standards, the Pennsylvania standards, or the core standards. All these lessons were developed in 2012 with those in mind. So therefore, I think it can serve any level in the teaching profession, and not only just history teachers, but English teachers, government teachers. Many of the later part of the documents come in the 20th century that could have a relevance to a political science class. Some of the speeches have a continuing theme from the Declaration of Independence all the way up to the women's rights movement. The language can be traced in English classes. So I think that the Preserving American Freedom can cover many disciplines in the humanities and not just history. So the grand vision was to make it available to anyone who wanted to incorporate it into their classroom.
And based upon your use of these lessons in the classroom, what tips could you give other teachers when using primary documents in the classroom?
Well, one of the major tips I would suggest, and I mentioned earlier, is to have the students read the historical essays by the professors from various universities. Of course, begin with Eric Foner's overarching essay. And from there, when you assign any document from whatever section it may be, also assign the historical essay that describes that section. That's the major tip. Students found it easier to read the documents once they read the historical essays. And they also found it easier and sometimes a little more accessible for the teacher prior to assigning documents to coordinate it with their textbook. For example, the textbook I used when I did the Fugitive Slave Law lesson plan, I had the students read a chapter on slavery from 1800 to 1850. So therefore, they could see how the content's covered in the textbook, how the content's covered in the historical essay by the historian, and then how the documents illustrate the different views. So that's the major tip. A final tip would be that teachers should plan to have these documents a week or two ahead of time, of course, if not even further ahead of time, and have the students try and read a document, get into the database, access the website, stroll around and see the different citations and how you can click on the italicized or blue words, and have the student become more comfortable with the website through homework assignments or on the student's own time. And that way, when you have it in the classroom, you don't have as much wasted time answering questions that could be taken care of in an informal way or for homework. gives, you know, some teachers have 40 minutes, some have more, but you get the most use out of your class time together instead of, you know, having it distract on things that could have been covered beforehand. There were the two tips I would give.
What is the most important thing students take away from preserving American freedom?
I think they take away the fact that primary sources can be interactive. You know, today, many students have different tablets and smartphones and all of the new technological advancements, and what Preserving American Freedom does well is it has the accessibility to be read at home, in school, on a tablet, on an interactive board in front of a classroom. It has the ability to define words right there. I think all the accessible features of it make it student-friendly, as well as the style of the essays, as well as the format and the various timelines, documents, references, all the things that Preserving American Freedom has are accessible to a younger audience that would use this for homework, for research papers, for testing, for you name it. I think it could be applied to Preserving American Freedom.